Good evening, everyone. I will try to be very brief. My children will not believe me when I say that. And also, I will read very few verses. And again, my children will have great difficulty believing that, because they always complain that I read too much and I talk too much. Now, tonight's subject is the Lord's work. And maybe you think, well, what have I to do with the Lord's work? Maybe you think that is something for mature Christians, that is something for, you know, older people. People think that I am old. I don't agree with that. Maybe you think that is for brothers who are wearing a tie. Well, I can tell you, I'm wearing a tie now. The only reason I'm doing that is because there's this massive stain on my shirt. That's gone now. So that's the only reason I'm still wearing a tie tonight. But I'm going to tell you that the Lord's work is for every believer. About 12, maybe 15 years ago, I said to my wife, you know what? I will never, ever help out in a camp. I will never, ever speak in a meeting. You know, when you say things like that, God says, oh, really? Oh, really? Well, I will show you otherwise. I cannot count the amount of times that I've spoken to young people, that I have been at camps and ministered the word. It's not about me. I just want to emphasize that, because when you think, just like I did, it's not for me, you're wrong. The only reason that it would not be for you is when you're not a believer. And that is what I want to show you tonight. I'm going to read two questions from the book of Acts, chapter 22. In the book of Acts, chapter 22, we see that Paul tells us about his conversion. He's on the way to Damascus to arrest the Christians. And God, the Lord Jesus, is going to stop him. There is this light from heaven shining brighter than the noonday sun, Paul says. And then Paul asks the first question. That is in chapter 22, verse 8. Who are you, Lord? That's the first question. When that light appears, Paul realizes this is God. The second question he asks two verses later is maybe a few seconds later. This is not 10 years down the road, it's on the very same spot. And then he asks the second question, verse 10, what shall I do, Lord? You see, two questions. Both questions end with Lord. If you are a believer, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you've accepted him as your Savior, that means that he is your Lord. That means that he is your boss. That means that he is your employer. If we are believers, we are under the Lordship of Christ. It was mentioned a few times today in the adult Bible studies that we have been brought under the Lordship of Christ. And that simply means, without being theological, that we do as he says. Mary said to the people at the wedding feast in Cana, we looked at that this morning, whatever he, Jesus, says, do that. Whatever he says, do that. And Paul here realizes when the light comes from heaven, it is the Lord speaking to me. This is Paul's conversion. The first question, who are you, Lord? That's his question. He realizes the Lord is meeting him. And I trust that all of you here have had that encounter. And if not, well, you've heard what Brother John said tonight. And I'm not going to repeat that. So we move on to the second question. Immediately after Paul's conversion, immediately after he recognized Jesus as Lord, he asked the second question, what shall I do? Or other translation, what would you have me to do? Paul says, please tell me, what can I do for you? And that's the question I would like you to ask your Lord. Paul addresses Jesus as Lord here twice. And he asks that question, what do you want me to do? Now, have you ever asked that question? Have you asked the Lord, Lord, please show me what to do? This afternoon when we looked at the Lord's work, I mentioned the verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, where God says, whatever your hand finds of to do, that do with all your might. With everything that you have, just do that which is right in front of you. As Brother John just said, we start right at our doorstep. But then they say, well, you know, you're talking about a special vessel. Paul, God had said that Paul was a chosen vessel. I'm not like Paul. I am Paul, but I'm not like Paul. And I can agree with that. Paul was a chosen vessel. But now let's read one more verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 9, chapter 1, verse 9, I think it is. Paul went to Thessalonica. He preached the gospel. And no doubt, the two questions that we have just looked at, Paul spoke about when he visited these people. So we could say that the people in Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica, they were Paul's converts. And then Paul speaks about how others spoke about these people. We read in verse 9 that all the people relate concerning us what entering in we had to you. That is how Paul had an entrance with the Thessalonians, and how you turned to God from idols. That's who are you, Lord? And then the next thing. To serve the living and true God and await his Son from the heavens. You see, Paul says, you turned from God, you got saved, and you got saved. The hymn says, saved for glory. Scripture says, saved to serve. Paul didn't say here, you know, the old brothers or the old sisters, all those over 50, all those over 30. No, he says, every one of you. Everyone, they talk about it. Everyone in the entire province, they know that you are serving. And this is the point. Serving doesn't mean that you have to go off to Africa. Brother John maybe will tell us, or will tell you, about the plans for next year to go to Uganda with the MAC team. And maybe some of you will join. Would be great. But the point is, you start at home. This afternoon we saw that when the apostles in the early chapters of Acts started the work, where did they start? They started right where they lived, in Jerusalem. They didn't go off to Europe. There was only in Acts chapter 16, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they started right where God had put them, in Jerusalem. Then from there they went on to Judea, you could say the province around Jerusalem. Then they went on to Samaria. And then they went on to the entire world. That's the order we find in the Word of God. That is the order that we should follow. Now, God doesn't tell us to go off to the mission field if we've never served Him at home. It starts at home. Every one of us has a responsibility. As long as we are here on earth, we are here to serve. So again, two questions. Who are you, Lord? And I trust everyone here knows that the Lord Jesus is your personal Savior. It's no good when I know that He is my wife's Savior. I need to know that He is my Savior and that He is my Lord. And second, the question that we then ask, not 20 years down the road. And don't be like me and say, I don't want to do that. Because I had to learn the lesson the hard way. And God had to take things away from me in order to make me serviceable. Because I didn't want to listen. Here we see of the Thessalonians, simple believers. They had no education. Paul had an education. Paul was a theologian. These Thessalonians, they had no education in that direction. But God could use them. They were an example to others. Everyone in the entire area was impressed by their service. God was glorified by it. And that's what he wants. The remarkable thing is that although we are saved by a creator God who is mighty, who has all power, who doesn't need us, he wants to use us. He doesn't need us to bring people to salvation. He could use his word and his spirit. But he wants us to be witnesses for him. He doesn't need us to explain the word of God, but he wants to use us. All of us, brothers and sisters, young and old. So the question I would like you to ask before you go to bed tonight, I know that's probably tomorrow morning, but a question you need to ask is, what do you want me to do, Lord?